This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSFAM.com, AVSFAM.com.
So the NHL.com headline reads, Dubnyk shines as the Wild defeat the Avalanche. Now, let me tell you this. Dubnyk maybe shined a little bit, but the Wild did not shine in this one. They were just good enough, took about 1,000 penalties, and the Avs just didn't really convert the penalties. Probably because they had basically their B team on the ice. They had a couple of people out there that were worth watching, like Big Z, Bigras. Komo is kind of interesting. Soderberg, I want to see what he does. And a few other guys that are worth keeping an eye on. But for the most part, this was not an NHL roster. I would say that Minnesota had more of an NHL roster than we did, and it showed in the final score. The only goal that the Avalanche did manage to put on the board was a weird one. Agostino kind of shot it towards the net, and then Grimaldi kind of dove towards the net as if he had the puck in his teeth and he was going to try to score that way like a running back in hockey, but it wasn't a pretty goal. We had a lot of chances, we didn't convert on them, and that really was the story of the night. But get this, there were 17 penalties in this game, most of them by Minnesota. Which got me to thinking, is this going to be another one of those years where during the regular season when they're calling all these things, it's all about your power play and your ability to perform on special teams, and then when the playoffs come, they put the whistle away and it doesn't matter anymore. Somebody like a Pittsburgh wins it because they know how to play 5-on-5 hockey and they don't rely purely on their power play? Probably. But just like every year, I think the Avalanche are finally going to solve things and they're going to be a 500 or better team, or they might even win the Cup. Maybe this year is the year that the refs call it consistently throughout the entire season, including the playoffs. I mean, we can hope, right? One thing I can assure you of is that the Minnesota Wild are just as annoying as they've always been, in particular Devan Dubnyk. And here's an interesting thing, both goalies were wearing numbers in the 40s. I'm not sure why it's interesting, but it is. I don't really recall a goalie not wearing something in a 1 or something around there or something in a 30, but to see them both in the 40s, it's just kind of odd, kind of like seeing the 94 on the back of Mironov, who doesn't look at all like Ryan Smith, but does choose his fights like Ryan Smith, which is pretty much never. And if you didn't see the game, or maybe you just had a radio feed where they didn't explain it well, pretty much it went like this. Mironov and Ryan Malone, I believe is his name, were in the corner, and they exchanged some nice words to each other, and then they punched each other in the face, and then Ryan Malone dropped the gloves, and Mironov kind of did this weird duck dive out of it. The good thing is that they got the penalty. The bad thing is Mironov doesn't seem like a guy who's going to stick up for himself much. Or maybe he's just like a Claude Lemieux and he's going to start a lot of shit, get a lot of penalties called against, and then eventually get jumped by somebody. Honestly, I don't know what to expect from Mironov. I know that he's Russian. I know that he doesn't speak English well. I know that he can play hockey. That's all I know so far. I want to not get weirded out by this guy because of what he's doing in preseason. I want to see how he performs throughout the entire season. And who knows, maybe having a bigger collection of Russians on the team is going to make all those guys a little less stressed and a little bit more productive when it comes time during the regular season. So in full disclosure, I didn't actually catch this entire game because I saw that it wasn't televised, but I was stupid, and I encourage you to not be stupid. Anytime you see that it's not televised, that doesn't mean that it's not televised by another team. The Minnesota Wild were televising this, and if you went on to Game Center, you could in fact watch this. Not if you live in Colorado, but if you have a way of virtually going to another country, say, allegedly, then you could in fact watch this, and that's exactly what I did. I took a trip to the Netherlands to watch this game, and here I am back at home. It's awesome. And if you have zero idea what I'm talking about, here's what I'm going to explain to you in very vague terms, because I allegedly do or don't do this. You should go get an app called CyberGhost, and you should get Game Center. You should open up CyberGhost first and make sure that it's anywhere other than here, and then go on and watch your game. Allegedly. I wouldn't know anything about that if it comes up. The downside of this is you have to listen to the other team's announcers, which are brutal. I'm sure that our announcers are brutal to other people too, but every single thing was like, oh, I can't believe they're calling that. Colorado gets away with this and that. And oh my God, Minnesota didn't do anything. I don't feel like our announcers do that, but maybe they do. Maybe I'm biased, maybe that's fine. But you may want to see if you can't sync up Mojer and the Game Center game and watch it that way, because it is absolutely brutal. And one more thing, I feel like this is becoming a lot of caveats and deviations, but if you are listening to the radio broadcast online, here's the thing, it doesn't work half the time if you have Wi-Fi on. So if you're having trouble listening to Mojer, what you need to do is turn off your Wi-Fi and just do it through your cell service on your phone. Then it comes up, then you're good to go. Okay, all that shit aside, let's talk some hockey. We'll do it rapid fire, and when you hear this noise, that means we're moving on. So let's talk Soderberg. Soderby, the Yeti. He hasn't looked amazing, but he has shown a slight uptick in his effort and his ability to get the puck around the net a lot. He still needs to turn those drive-by chances into actual scoring chances and be dangerous around the net, but this is progress. He's making a better effort, and he looked like the guy who was going to be on the NHL roster tonight against all those other guys who are not going to be on the NHL roster tonight. And this is good. This is what you want. You want guys who are better players to play better. You want them to dominate like the previous game. You don't want them to play to the other team's ability, play to the other player's ability. You want them to be awesome when the other guys are not quite awesome enough, and you want that to reflect on the scoreboard. He's not quite doing that yet, but I see signs of it, and he's going to be a good third line center for us. Or maybe a fourth liner. Who knows? I mean, really, we have an awful lot of guys who can play center. Some of them playing wing because there's too many centers, so I don't know exactly where he's going to land, but I have a feeling it's going to be that third or the fourth line, and he's either going to play his way back onto this roster full-time, or he's going to find himself sitting games out while younger guys get the chance. And believe me, I know, that's a lot of money sitting out if it happens, but I don't believe Bednar's messing around. I believe that he wants the best players on the ice regardless of what the money looks like, and if it becomes a thing where we're not using Soderberg at all, somebody else is going to want him around trade deadline time, I think. I like Soderberg, and not just because Avs fan makes a shirt of Soderberg's. I just think that he's a good player, and I want to see him do well. I don't know what happened last year, but it happened to everybody on the team. He needs to bounce back, and he needs to get some of this enthusiasm from the young players and be better for it. How nice is it to have Big Z signed again? And he played okay tonight. I would say that he's still working his way up to game shape and game speed, but he played okay. He did all the things that you would expect a Big Z kind of guy to do. He could still add a little bit of poise, however, when he's under pressure, especially in the neutral zone with that puck. He likes to just kind of bounce it around to try a little drop pass that doesn't seem to work that often. Where I wish he'd use his size and his ability to hold people off with that Big Z butt just to buy himself a second or two and find the open guy and make a play that maybe goes the other way instead of one where he's just buying enough time to turn around and try to defend in our own zone. I am one of these glass half full kind of guys when it comes to Big Z. I think that signing him is really good, and I think that he's only going to get better. Sure, he's always going to have a little bit of a downside because he takes chances, but I love those chances. If you've got a Big Z on your team, then you know you need somebody who can back him up when he takes these chances and puts these big hits on people. You need somebody who's going to make it okay for him to be who he is and do what he does. And from Big Z to a guy who I affectionately call Little Z, even though everybody else calls him any number of different things. The announcers call B-Graw Big Russ. Be grass, a lot of different things, but for me, he's Little Z. Not for any good or profound reason other than it sounds good and it's fun to say. Big Z, Little Z. See? Say it yourself. Go ahead. Fun, right? You know, I find myself wondering sometimes what it is I was expecting to see from, let's call him Big Grass this time. What the hell was Big Grass going to do that I thought was awesome? And I think the answer is we all thought that he would be kind of a Tyson Barrie. I think a lot of people thought that he was going to be the Tyson Barrie that Tyson Barrie ended up being when he was good. But right now, neither one of them are really being very Tyson Barrie, if you follow what I'm saying. So anyways, Big Russ, this time we'll say, needs to find a way to be something other than not bad on the ice, not a liability, not sucky. He needs to find a way to have a thing he does, something he does consistently. And what I think that's going to be is some scoring and passing. I think that he is that sort of in-between offensive player and defensive player. He's sort of a de-offensive player, we'll say. But here's the thing, Little Z needs to find his game. He needs to quit trying so hard to not be kicked off the team and be trying to make the team by playing his game. I really think that's the key for him. And when he does that, when he puts it all on the line and just does his thing the way that he does, I think he's going to find a spot on this roster. And I think he's another guy who's probably going to need a really stay-at-home kind of defenseman with him. But he is crossover enough to where he could exist with somebody else out there who also likes to take a chance here and there and get a pass up the ice. I really think that when Big Russ is on his game, he is going to be that guy who gets that pass out of the zone to somebody and creates a scoring chance in a matter of 2 seconds. I think he has that kind of vision and the ability to get down the ice. I just want to see him do it consistently now. I'm not sure that anybody else has a problem with this, but it's weird for me to see people wearing other people's numbers. Like 94 on Mironov, that's Ryan Smith's number. And how about 55 on that one dude, Bazzelli? That's pretty weird too. I expected him to go out and either fight everybody on the ice or be about 10 steps behind the play. And calm down, that's not Cody Mac hate. That's just Cody Mac honest, okay? We all know it. One thing I've noticed that there are certain players that are just better with better players. I mean, there's players who can hold their own no matter who's on the ice, but there's other guys that need the support of the other players around them. One of them is Matt Nieto. Have you heard of him? Yeah, he's a Long Beach, California native. Man, I hope they let that go this year. I'm so tired of hearing that every time you hear his name. My guess is that Rocco Grimaldi will as well, and a lot of these guys from the AHL, they're just not takeover a game kind of guys. They're guys that if you put out there at the right combination can be really, really good, but otherwise, they're just kind of really, really average. And the rapid fire gets even more rapid fire. All right, last thought here. The Avs jerseys, while they're super, super cool, I know you all love them and I love them too. I'm noticing that they're a lot like the socks these days. They're super thin, paper thin, right? Which is totally fine. I mean, the players can breathe better in them. They get a lot more air. But here's the thing. If you're golden, you're soaking your thing down. It looks like you're in a wet t-shirt contest and you're going to lose. I'm one of these people who likes real materials. I like real wood, I like real metal, and I like real fabrics on players. I get that they want every advantage they can possibly get, but is there a chance we're getting too far? What's gonna be the next thing? Are the helmets gonna look like the bumpers on the current Hondas, where there's not really a bumper, there's just a bump? I hope not. I hope that there's still some authenticity in the actual apparel that these guys wear, the actual uniforms that they wear, and that not everything looks like pajama pants from the 1980s in the future. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AbsFam, absfam.com. Go check them out. Stay awesome.